Well, how is everybody this morning? Good? Caffeinated? Ready? Alert? Somebody going, no, I didn't get enough. All right, so we're going to try. We got pictures this morning, so we should be able to be all right. Well, it is good to be with you all and talk about the work going on in Paraguay. I want to say a few things to get going. This is something we're doing together. This isn't something that, oh, the Blackmers, we're sending them down there. The Palm Beach Lakes is involved in every aspect. So when you see pictures on the screen, you can say, we're involved in that. We're helping that. That's us working. That's how the Bible talks about senders and goers. And so we're the goers and y'all are the senders. And so we're doing this together. Second, this is class. Ask questions. Raise your hand. I have information to give you. And I have a slide, you know, a spiel that I've done more than once. But this is for you. This is to inform you about what's going on. So if you have curiosities, if you have questions, raise your hand and let's get that information to you. So that's what this is about this morning. So Paraguay Mission, y'all know a little bit about Paraguay more than most. Y'all know about our family, Josiah and Vivian growing up. So Paraguay, what's the deal about Paraguay? Most of you might know by now where Paraguay is and a little bit about it, but just for you who might not know Paraguay, we're talking about 7 million people in this country. Religious-wise, we have pretty much everything, but basically any country that speaks Spanish, you're going to have the Roman Catholic Church is going to be the predominant aspect of that religion. Languages, we speak and teach in Spanish, but there are two national languages, Spanish and Guarani, and they mix their Spanish and cheat. So they use that Indian dialect also. They're one of the few countries that do that. Here it is there in the heart of South America. Here you are, the image itself. The country itself is about the size of California. So 7 million people in the size of, you know, the state of California, we have lots of elbow room as a country. Here is a congregation that we're working with, the Sacramento Street Church of Christ. It's gone through some changes recently. We'll talk more about that. But at this moment, we're about 85 members. And all working together there. And the way we work is that we're missionaries working with this congregation. So there is no preacher, you know, one guy preaching, one guy song leading kind of aspect. We're working with the men. And so we all rotate. We all teach. We all preach. Those that can and want to. And so that helps us to be useful and working more. And it helps the congregation so that if we leave or whatever happens, they're not dependent on any one person. And so that's the nature of that work. Here is the building itself. Some of you may know that to the right there, you can see that wall we're sharing with a casino. So that makes things interesting. The food smells really good over there. Have not imbibed, but it smells really good. Here is the current team. Some of you know the history. The start off in 2003, 2004 with the original team. It's gone through various transitions. And here we are, us, also the Spradlins, and then Brittany Dye, no stranger here either. She's been here before. And then she married Aliegros, and they're a new addition to the family. And what we're going to do this morning, instead of going chronological order through the year, we're going to go through some special events and some things that we do individually. And if we have time, I want to talk to you about Easter Island and some work that we've been doing on Easter Island also this morning. First we're going to talk about baptisms that have happened this year. Just so you all can put some faces with some of the names you've heard about. This is Javier, and you'll see, we'll talk about more him about later on. This is Noberta, and Noberta was baptized when she was about 90. And so she's recently passed on. But it's a transition that's been easier for her family because, you know, she's been a member of the church. It makes that process easier. And Elvira, Vicente, and we'll talk more about the Martinez family later on also. But this is their oldest son. Maria Belen. Maria Belen is an interesting case, and people have asked how the Catholic Church affects the work there. It doesn't affect it a whole lot. But the traditions of the Catholic Church affect us. And what I mean by that is Maria Belen is from a Catholic family. and she's friends with some of our church members, and they studied with her, and she was baptized, but her family does not allow her to worship with us. They're Catholic. They don't really worship. They don't really go to Mass or anything, but they're Catholic. It's their traditions. It's what defines them. And so she's, in essence, gone against the family tradition and becoming a member of the church. And so that's a struggle she has, and a struggle that many have had, trying to overcome, you know, that tradition. And so the only thing they can really do, and we can encourage them to do, is keep being a light, keep shining, and keep showing your example. And sometimes that kind of just wears off, and they eventually allow us, or allow them to worship with us. Fabio, also, recent baptism. Dina, and Dina came to us through the English studies, I believe. Gabrielle, and then Graciela. And we'll talk about some of the about this young man later on also, Eliezer. Questions, comments? All right. We've had some visiting groups this past year. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that. Y'all recognize this bunch of people? Yes. Well, when they came down, you've heard the reports. They came down and they helped with the campaign. And you've heard this name a lot, right? Y'all know it's Nimbu, right? You know, that's how we say it. We're just going to say Nimby for the. That's how y'all say it, right? Nimby. Then the work there in Numbu, and we're going to talk more about that and how that's blossomed and what's happened since y'all have been gone. And they also did some benevolent work with the house of one of our members, so that was a great time to have everybody there. We have stories if y'all want to talk about it later on. We also had Leanna Group come down. This is Brittany's overseeing work, our congregation, and they taught classes, worked with one of our widows, and helped Brittany and Ollie. It was interesting. Brittany was due like that week, and her parents came with this group, and as soon as they got off the airplane, the baby wanted to come. And so they went from airport to hospital, and just shortly after the baby delivered. I don't know if mom or baby was waiting on grandma getting there, but anyway, so they helped with that process while they were there also. All right, some highlights for us for this year. Of course, we mentioned it. Alejandro Daniel Yegros Dai was born, a little prince of the congregation. Y'all know how that works, especially in small congregations, a new baby in the congregation, and he gets passed around. He's all of a sudden the new play toy, right? But he's a good kid, and he is a Yegros. So, this I told you we talk about this, but this young man, Javier, married one of our young ladies. And they asked me to do the wedding. We've done some premarital counseling with various couples. And so they asked me to do the wedding. And I wasn't sure who was more nervous, them or myself, trying to do that in Spanish. But it was fun, and I was glad to be a part of that. Of course, we had a VBS, something you are familiar with here. And this is the congregation they're putting it on. And we have some of Vivian's friends assist. You see them in there in the front. And we actually have a lot of contacts through the kids' school. And so that's been good. And see some of her friends there. They go to an all Spanish-speaking school. They do have some English, but it's basically an easy A for them. It's kind of C-spot run kind of stuff. So that's just, you know, they come home, I got an A in English. And I'm like, well, you should, you know. So Josiah came home one day and said, well, Dad, I had to correct the teacher again. I was like, son, again? And he's like, yeah. I said, let's not do that. It doesn't create a good environment sometimes. But the school's going really well for them. We have a church retreat, sort of like so. I think I pushed the button too many times. Sort of like so, and we rent a Korean Baptist Bible camp is what we rent. There's actually a large Korean population in Paraguay. I don't know exactly why, but they're there. And there's enough of them that have their own, you know, all-Korean Baptist church, and they have their own all-Korean Bible camp. And so we rent this facility, and we actually, there have been times when quite a number of the people that came, almost 50% of the people that came, were not members of the church. And so we always have lessons and classes So those particular times, we have classes on what it means to be a member of the church. And so it becomes edifying and evangelistic. And you'll see that a lot in what we do. People are, you know, kind of drawn to that atmosphere. We had a special youth class. The youth came to us. And I say youth, these guys are mid-20s, some of them. And what happened is the youth group formed and they grew up. And they never really changed. It was just always a youth group. And so I don't know if they're like going to be 35 and consider the youth group. But so that group has grown up. And now they're kind of in the dating, thinking more seriously about dating. And they asked us, how do Christians date? Because they don't have that, you know, that long continuous cycle of examples before them. And so they asked us, you know, how do Christians date? And so we had a topic about that. We split boys and girls into separate classes, you know, classic class on that. So we also had a class called Marriage Matters. It was a seminar, and a couple came down and did this. And we advertised this to the community, and we actually had an atheist couple attend this. And afterwards, they said, you completely changed our concept of what marriage is. Completely changed our concept of what marriage is. They were just enthralled with it, because there's not a lot of this kind of information for couples. Prior to. There are a few classes, but there's not a lot. It's not widely known, so they really enjoyed it. This is our group. We had an English campaign, and this is Kara with one of her students. Every work, every place has their thing, their niche, what they do to get contacts. And what's worked for us, and you've heard it talked about, is the people are teaching English to individuals. We do this in September. And what happens is we advertise on Facebook, we advertise on local facilities that are institutions that teach English. And what we're doing is we're practicing conversational English with these people. We're not teaching ABCs because we don't have that kind of time. But we're working on just their conversational English. They have to have a good base. And we go through the book of John. It's a 10-week study. And after they finish that 10-week study, they can go on if they want to and study Searching for Truth in English, which most would like to. It's free. We offer it free. And so we've had a lot of baptisms from this and a lot of contacts. So it's been very good. We try to do it once a year, sometimes twice a year. But each individual, we just kind of, here's our schedule, and let's fill it up with students, you know, where the empty holes are. And so it works out really well. All right, I told you we talk about Numbu later on. Here we are. The work in Numbu and Eliezer Paredes. Some of you have heard that name before, Eliezer. What happened was Eliezer came down to be an intern. And he came down from the School of Preaching in Guatemala. And while he was with us, he worked some with the group in Numbu and knew about what was going on and kind of communicated to a few that he might be interested in coming down and working with that group. And they got all excited about that. And they said, well, let's try and make that happen. So what's happening now is the Vicente family came to this congregation, came to Sacramento Street. They'd studied themselves out of denominationalism, and they came and worshipped with us. And the first Sunday they worshipped with us, they said, this is it. We found it, is basically what they're saying. This is what we read about in the New Testament. This is the kind of church we read about. And so they were happy just to be there. And so from that point on, he wanted to have a congregation. He wanted to have a group in his home, meeting in his area. And so there became more and more converts from that area, and up to, I think now they're at 25. And so the men decided, well, let's start a congregation out there, and let's get Eliezer to come down. And so Sacramento Street, a congregation of 85, is now fully supporting Eliezer, working with this group in Numbu, and starting a 25-member congregation. And so that's huge. There's been a lot of things. God's been working behind the scenes to send us this guy. You know, there's a lot of things that God's been blessing us with. And so this has been a really big event. And so this group, you see their facility here, they're renting. They're renting this pretty cheap. They now have the largest facility among the churches in Paraguay. There are only three congregations of the Lord's Church in Paraguay. 7 million people. And as far as we know, there are 120 baptized New Testament Christians, as far as we know. So the ratio is pretty thin, and so we're working on that. But this congregation started up, and they're doing really well. And we're really excited about that. So what happens, the men to help them is we, Sacramento Street worships in the morning, and a lot of the men go out and worship with this congregation in Nimbu in the afternoon to help them, to encourage them, and working together with that. Any questions or anything before we move on? Awesome. Y'all are completely 100% informed. Yes? Yes, they... Well, they were in a home, I think, almost a year or right around there. I'm not 100% certain. But they started looking, and they found this for, I believe it's like $150 a month. They're renting this facility, which they're paying for amongst themselves. And so we're really blessed. You know, we're not starting them off. Well, we're helping them with the evangelist, but they're taking up and paying for their responsibilities. So. It's been really good. All right, another big event is the Asuncion Bible Academy. And you've heard us talk about this before and all the preparation that's been going on. And Troy's done a great job. He's the director of the school. And Perry works with the education part of it also, full-time working with the school. But we have five students, and these five students are going through a two-year program to be educated in order to work with the church. We have one female student who is working and doing a very good job. And so she'll be able to be trained to do ladies' classes and work with the youth and be work with the congregation in that aspect. So we're really excited about this. They should have finished, I believe they finished their first year, and will be starting shortly their second, and all of them are doing very well. Now what this is, these guys are going to school 8 to 4, Monday through Friday. And they work in some benevolent acts they do, and Troy's doing a good job of keeping their schedule full. They have a week between each, 9 weeks, and they do some sort of activity during that week, and they have just a week off also. So they're super busy, but the congregation is already seeing the benefits as they're teaching now and working and being more effective. And, you know, 120... members of the Lord's church, you don't have a large pool to get new students. And the men knew that starting this. They said, even if we only have one class, it's going to be worth it for Paraguay to have our own Paraguayans that are working there. So it's been going very well, and we're excited about that. Any questions? All righty. Oh, I'll wait in the back, sorry. Well, it's actually, we are helping with that and giving them sort of a scholarship so that they can do that. But the monthly cost for these five students, I believe, is $1,500. So we're not talking about, a lot of money to paying for their eats. And we also have some facilities that the congregation has made, some dorm rooms, basically, in the back of the building. So one of them, at least right now, is living there. So... that kind of helps with their costs also. So. Very good. Planning for the future. Who does that? Do y'all as a family plan for the future? We should, right? And, you know, every congregation does something like that. We are teaching and working with the men to be thinking ahead on what's going on. And so every year we have a planning session. It's usually 1 to 2 days. And here we have what we do is we look back on what we've done in the past and kind of look forward to what we're going to do next year. And so this is the planning session we did. We actually did this just before I left. And I'm going to show you some of the goals that they came up with. And how this works is we give them information and we dream with them, but it's us dreaming together. It's not the missionary saying this is what you should do. It's us dreaming together as a congregation. What can this congregation do? What can we accomplish next year? So it's very encouraging, and it's really neat to see their enthusiasm for evangelism, and you'll see some of that in the examples we'll talk about later on. All right, areas of personal service, things that we work on, Kara and I. One thing, did I skip too many? I did. All right, one thing that Kara and I work on is, we work a lot with families. And one thing we have is a parenting group that meets once a month. And you see pictures here with our group meeting. And we get together. And again, this is another situation where half the people are not even members of the church. And so it's both edifying and evangelistic. And what we're doing is helping parents know what it is to raise a Christian family, a Christian home, have a Christian home. Because you don't have what you have here. You know, some of you were raised in a Christian home. Some of you were not. But by and large, there have been generations here in this location who have been Christians. And that is not the case there. And so we're trying to help them understand what it means to have a Christian home. And so that's what the focus of this group is. And then, of course, we eat. That happens too. Kara works with a group of ladies. They have Hearts at Home. They meet every Monday. And every other Monday, Kara brings a Bible lesson. And they meet to encourage one another and build each other up. And again, another situation where the majority of these ladies are not members of the church. But Brittany and Kara and another lady of the church, they have an influence with this group. And so we're really excited about that. There's been a lot of good things come from this group. Here's another couples group we do, again, once a month, meeting together. And the same sort of situation. We have books we study, discussion, things we work on. And here we are kind of at the end of the year, eating again at the end of the year, meeting in the Yegros home. And so what we do with these groups is we meet in different members' homes. Different people of this group, we meet in their homes. And so it makes it more personable. It's really fun. And you see a pretty big group there. All right. I told you we'd talk about some goals. And here's some goals that were achieved this past year. In the area of evangelism, have evangelistic campaigns. They wanted to do that. Using the Searching for Truth materials. Y'all are familiar with those materials. We use them down there in Spanish. They're very effective. Everybody likes, you know, it's very colorful. You've seen it. You remember the older tracts, the black and white tracts that, you know, there's that and then the Searching for Truth. Which one would you rather have? Right? And so it's very, people are really appreciative for that. We offer classes in English. Planting the congregation. You know, it's a line item on here, but that was a huge, huge thing. And then the academy. We sent a few academy students on a short-term trip to Panama. Edification, start the full-time academy, intensive academy, leadership classes, and we talked about the church and the men's retreat. In benevolence, we offer a class on comfort in times of grief. This is basically helping people through the grieving process after losing a loved one. There, whenever somebody dies, you're basically looking at a 24-hour process from death to burial. It's very, very quick. They still do the wake or the mourning, viewing of the body situation. So it's a little bit different than what we're accustomed to, but it's very quick. And so we offer this class to help people. And Brittany did a lot putting it together, but it's now in a situation where other members of the church can teach it. So we're happy about that. A food pantry and be more active in a benevolent work, something they want to do this year. All right, goals for next year. These are still sort of in the works in our goals. When I left, they were still putting all the final touches on them, but I'm going to just share a few things that are sort of their ideas, where they're heading new this year. We're going to try and do obviously the same things we've been doing before and adding on some of these new aspects. In the area of evangelism, a strategy to reach denominations. They were thinking and have been talking about, how do we reach whole groups? What if we could reach and convert a whole group? Now, what does that mean? Well, it's going to be difficult for groups that are tied financially to any institution. It's going to be difficult for the mainstream large Baptist groups. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about are those splinter groups that have, you know, been upset or changed doctrine and gone off and made their own faction. There's a lot of those. You know, they have names that are, you know, Church of the First, you know, whatever, you know, really long. So those small little groups, we're going to try and reach out to them. You know, we haven't really worked on how it's going to work, but there have been instances and members that have come to Sacramento saying that if there had been somebody who had an influence who could have taught at the right moment, there might have been a change, because there are groups that just completely change their doctrine 100%. They'll change the preacher, they'll change something, and they'll change doctrine 100%. In another direction. And so if we had been there at the right moment, we might have been able to have an influence on what they started teaching. So that's something they're thinking about doing this next year. They also talked about evangelism in the plazas. We don't really have those much here anymore, but kind of the town square situation. and what they thought about doing. What if we worshiped? Instead of just preaching to everybody in this plaza, what if we just set up worship and worshiped in the plaza and had signs up saying this is first century worship? Because they don't know what that is. You know, the denominational world doesn't know what that looks like. And people are surprised when they visit us that we've never seen this before. And so what if we just worshiped? We're not preaching at anybody. You're just viewing, you know, us, you know. So what is a flash mob worship sort of situation? So that's an idea. And then already evangelists, they said we want somebody on call all the time. You know, if we all have a set up a schedule or something, they're still working on the details of how this is going to work. But they're saying, what if somebody says, I want to study the Bible right now. We want to have somebody on call all the time to be ready to. And they're not thinking, well, we'll just shove it off on the missionaries. They're not thinking that way. We need to be involved in that. So that's been very encouraging. Of course, edification. Radio program, I have it in edification, but it's going to be edification and evangelistic. And I think that's starting in January. And what that's going to be, the Paraguayans are going to be recording their lessons. The students are going to be working on this. They're going to be working in Spanish and Guarani. And so they're really excited about getting that started. I think right now they're still looking for a station to finalize some things with the station. But I believe that's happening in January. So that's going to be a big plus. Any other questions? All right. Yes, sir. Well, we communicate in Spanish most days. There are some, yes. That's a loaded question. There are various levels. You know, there's various levels of speaking English, right? Various levels of English. There's various levels of Spanish, depending on who you talk to. Won't get into it, but.
You got an illustration of something you said in Spanish that was wrong?
Several. I think the worst ones are probably the ones I still don't know about yet. But I was, as far as illustration of something I did wrong or said wrong, in class I was talking about, you know, the faith of Abraham, you know, and how he was taking the knife, and as he was, you know, this is really dramatic, you know, how preachers get sometimes, and he's bringing the knife down, and as he was about to slay Isaac, he knew, you know, that. Yeah, but he was bringing the knife down. He knew that he would be raised to life again. But I was saying spoon, because the word for spoon and knife are like very similar. Some of you know that. And so I was, oh, spoon, you know. It's like, they're like, knife, you know. You know, and that moment was gone. It's like, well, we'll move on. You don't get the point, you know. So, anyway, it happens. It happens. I did another one as I went to order. This is when we hadn't been there very long at all. Went to the food court and we were getting some Chinese food. And I asked for chicken, but the word I said instead of chicken was dog. And so I don't think I was like, it couldn't have been more perfect. It was an accident on my part. She looked at me like, what? We don't serve that here, you know? It happens. It happens to y'all in English too, doesn't it? Not just in, okay, so. It happens to all of us. All right. But it is funny. You have to laugh. All right. In the area of benevolence, we want to teach literacy. There's a large population who are not literate. And so we want to teach literacy using the Bible. That's something the members want to do. Improving the distribution of benevolence. Well, we had a benevolence because we had some groups coming, some people coming to us. So we had a closet. And now they're thinking, well, we just need to be more active and deliver some of this stuff instead of letting it sit here. And so they're talking about putting together little packets with church information to hand out to people on the corners as you're just going about your daily business. And so they're thinking about doing that maybe this year. Then visiting prisoners and lessons on benevolence. All right, any other questions before we move on to Easter Island? Where are we on time? I do not have a watch. I have 12 minutes, says Dan, which probably means like 5, y'all have time, right? All right, Easter Island. Y'all are familiar with the fact that we've been going over there. Here is the island itself. We'll talk about its dimensions. But it's made up by 3 volcanoes principally, and there are 180 volcanoes on the island. None of which are active, but they're there. And so you see this on this far corner down here, you'll see a strip. That's the runway, just to give you perspective on the island. And so it almost cuts that part of the island off, the runway there. So Easter Island is a territory of Chile. It is in the Pacific Ocean between Chile and the Pitcairn Islands. We're talking about basically 2,100 miles from mainland Chile, and what is it, 1,300 miles to the nearest other inhabited island, or largely inhabited island. So it's isolated, ladies and gentlemen, and it's, you know, it's small. It's 63 miles squared. If you looked on Google Maps, just tried to find it on Google Maps, you cannot find it without, you know, typing it in and zooming in for you. It's almost impossible. I've given some of you a challenge. Please don't do it right now on your phones. So it's a small little place. It has about 5,000 inhabitants that live there year-round, but its economy is 100% tourism. And so they have about 60,000 people that visit the island yearly. And Hungaroa is the capital city. And they speak Rapa Nui and Spanish. And so again, we're dealing with two languages on this island. I can't catch a break on just speak Spanish. So they speak Spanish and Rapa Nui. So they mix their greetings and everything are going to be in Rapa Nui. So if they were going to say hello, they'd say Iorana. That's how they say hello. If they're asking how you're doing, they say Maururu. And you'd say Riva Riva. You know, that's what you'd say, right? Anyway. Yeah. So that's, you know, so there's those kind of things, the small things. But there's a distinct, you know, us and them. There's the Rapa Nui individuals who are Rapa Nui natives. And then the Chileans. And it's sort of like the Jews and the Romans. What have the Romans ever done for us kind of situation? They think, well, we could make it on our own, but really they couldn't make it on their own. They wouldn't be able to make it without Chile. Back in the day, some people told us that there used to be one boat coming to the island a year. That was it. And now there are planes coming three or four times a week. And on those planes, you have passengers, you have cargo, you have cars coming on those planes. And then you have sometimes three or four ships come out a month also. So there's a lot more contact with the island nowadays. The history of the work. Y'all might know this guy. You know who that is? He asked me, would you mind going to Easter Island? Has Robert Martin ever asked you for anything? Is it hard to say no to him? He's an awesome guy, and, you know, I've heard his stories about the work he's done on the islands. You know, I've spent time with him, and, you know, the whole going back into the jungle kind of thing, working with the tribes and that kind of stuff, and I was like, it would always be awesome to go to Easter Island, or to go to an island with Robert. And so he asked me, would you go to Easter Island? Because, you know, I don't speak Spanish. And I said, I'd love to. And so we went in 2010. And this trip basically was, let's feel this out. What's it going to be like? Because we're going to a new place. There's no congregation of the Lord's Church on the island. And so we're just kind of seeing, what's the religious atmosphere on the island? How is it going to be to communicate with the people on the island? How are they going to receive the message? How receptive are they? What ways can we get the message out? And so those are the questions we're trying to answer on this first trip. And we met this guy, actually, in the photocopy, one of the photocopy places. And he saw our materials and said, hey, I'm a member of the church too. You know, that's in parentheses church, his concept of church. But he has a group that meets in his home. And so we went and talked with them. You know, they're a denominational group, but we're still friends. We're not on the same page doctrinally. We're still friends. He sells bread on the island, and so I get to go by and have fresh bread with him some mornings, and so he's a good guy. Now, the way we're working on the island is 5,000 people is not really a lot of people on an island that small. You know, you're not going anywhere, okay? You can't say, I'm going to go to my corner. So when you're working in that situation, you're very careful about making enemies. Now, I'm not saying we don't teach truth. Never shy away from teaching truth. But you need to do it in a way where you're not going to crush a contact, where you're not going to be blackballed as a person that just, you know, that's that crazy guy. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to work. I think the Bible talks about walking in wisdom through those who are without, being like a lamb and a serpent. And so we need to work that way. And so we're still have this guy as a contact and praying for him, and hopefully maybe we can have an influence in his life. The second trip we made was with Robert Martin and David Schoenhoff. David has been a missionary in Argentina for 8 years, and he is now in Chattanooga, and he's been there for a little while, I believe. But what we're trying to do is, I want to try and go down there twice a year, and David go down there twice a year, so we kind of have this rotation going on where somebody's there basically every 3 months. That's the idea. We're trying to get that going. Y'all making fun of my flowers? They're heckling me now here. I can tell. I change my look from time to time. Yeah, I just, you know, throw y'all in a loop. Y'all don't know, you go down to Paraguay, you can hide pretty well. And there's some ulterior motives why we're in Paraguay. No, just kidding. While we're on this trip, we met Bertha Hay. Bertha was 80, she turned 80 actually this day we took this picture. And so we studied with her. But what's interesting is this they respect older people there. And Bertha has a large pull on the island. And so when Bertha told us to go visit a person or go do something, and we said, well, Bertha Hay sent us, you know, that was the word. You know, as long as Bertha Hay, if we dropped that name, then we were in. And so she's a great contact to have. She also owns an empanada. Who knows what an empanada is? Okay, Hot Pocket, you know, are y'all familiar with Hot Pocket? It's sort of that kind of thing. But they're like big, and they're really good. And so she feeds us also. We make contacts. Of course, there's tourist things there, and the people selling, you know, tourist stuff. And so you go and talk to them while they're just sitting there building, making their stuff. Here's an older lady we always talk to, Maria. Here's Bertha and her daughter, Maria. And her daughter runs the airline that goes into Easter Island is Land Chile. And she runs the office there. So a good contact to have. Especially if you have to get off the island quick or something, you know. She's a good person to know. Not that I think that would happen, I'm just saying. So we worshipped with them while we were there. And again, a situation where they've never seen first century worship. So it was interesting. Now, Karen and I went in May. And we were doing the same kind of situation. Working, here's a market, we were just handing out information. And the way we work is if you want to study the Bible, we're here to study the Bible. If you don't, that's fine. You know, we give them information and contacts if they want to change their mind later on. And so this is what we're doing. And Kara, well, here's some new contacts we made through the older ones. This is actually Marie. You saw Maria earlier, and this is her husband. We're passing out just flyers, trying to invite people to a Bible study. We're trying different things, just shaking it up, you know, seeing what's going to work. This didn't work, actually, by the way. We spent all that time passing out flyers and information, and nobody showed up. But what did Edison say? Found out a lot of ways that doesn't work, right? All right, 5 minutes. Here we go. On this trip, we met Piki Araki, and she was also a person who was selling souvenirs. Karen went up to her and said, would you like to study the Bible? And she said, how can I say no? God has brought the Bible to my door. So that's a good response, right? And so we studied with her, and so she's been a good contact. You know, we're still studying with her because we're trying to get the idea of the difference between New Testament baptism and denominational concept of baptism and what that means. So that's something we're trying to work on with these individuals. But they're good contacts to have. Because Luis Yegros and I went on a trip just recently in October. And on this trip, Piki was an asset. What we're finding is it's going to be difficult for us to drum up contacts. But when an islander says, go study with this person, and we go to that person and say, well, Piki sent us to study with you. They're like, okay, come on in, we'll study. And so it's not us trying to find the people, it's this islander who's an asset to help us find these people who are studying. And she let us rent out a lot of people rent out a small home or something like that, and she let us rent that out. So it's a lot of good things come from the contacts you have with people there on the islands. We studied with Ingrid while we were there. She's from mainland Chile, and we studied that week. And so she was really happy. Of course, she was kind of nervous at first, but opened up. And we're still working on baptism with her right now. Any questions, comments about any of this? Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. The Catholics got in there like in the 1800s, late 1800s. When they went in, they burned all the crazy foreign stuff and just, you know, Mother Church kind of situation. But they're starting to try and revive some of their old traditions and have been for a while. But you have everybody else too. Yes, sir. Yes, there are. Chile, Bolivia, every country around us, they have members of or congregations of the Lord's Church in those countries. Just because of distance, we haven't done a lot with them. I know that our youth in the past have gone down to Argentina and done a youth camp with one group. But just because of distance, we don't have a lot of contact with them. We do have members that pass through sometimes and they worship with us, but that's pretty much the extent of our contact with other congregations in other countries. So, great questions. Any other questions? All right.
Tell them about the air here. That's fascinating.
Oh, I'm sorry. I find it's on Easter Island or in general?
Well, in general. In
Paraguay, it's easier to talk about the Bible. It's easier than here. People are, in general, more receptive. Now, you're going to have all your vices and all the things. You know, people are people. But in general, it's easier to talk to people about God there. Easter Island, it's more difficult. Because first, you're a tourist. So you got to get beyond that. And then, it's just, you know, that's weird. Why would you come here? You know, we're good. You know, we got everybody else already. So, but by and large, yes. Any other comments? Well, I just want, again, to say thank you for y'all's part in this work. Y'all are touching Paraguay, and y'all are touching the uttermost corner and Easter Island and the work there, and y'all are part of that. And so when God says go to the four corners, or, you know, you're spreading the message to the four corners, literally y'all are at the tippy most corner in one part of the world. And so we're thankful for the relationship we have with Palm Beach Lakes and y'all's involvement. Can we finish with a prayer this morning? Our God and our Father, we are truly blessed to be called your children. We are thankful for the work that you've given us to do, that we can work in your kingdom. And we pray that we are bringing fruit that is a sweet-smelling savor to you. And we pray that our worship this morning will be likewise. We thank you for the fact that we can work together here at Palm Beach Lakes and be an influence around the world and an influence here in this county. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.